Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
All right, welcome to another episode of Informed Faith. My name is Patrick, your host, and I'm excited and thrilled to be with you here today. Thanks for joining us. In this episode, we're going to start a series about the five keys to studying the Bible. But first, to kick off the series, we're going to discuss why we don't study the Bible. Why do so many professing Christians not want to study the Bible and not do it on a consistent basis? We're going to talk about that today. But first, just a reminder, if you are new to this podcast ministry, go to informedfaith.buzzsprout.com. That's informedfaith.buzzsprout.com. And you can read about the purpose of this ministry, this podcast. You can also become a support champion for as little as $3 a month. We appreciate everyone who supports us. But let's get into this today because it is such a, you know, I think in order for us to talk about the keys to studying the Bible, we first have to understand why we don't study the Bible. What are the reasons why we don't read our Bibles regularly? In a recent Pew Research Center study of Christians, and this was just of professing believers, Pew Research found that 50% of those polled, 50%, said that they seldom to never read their Bible. That's a high number for any organization. That's a very high number of folks who say they believe in the cause but don't read the guide. and I have definitely fit into that category. I don't know about you, but I probably one of the biggest struggles in my life has been consistent Bible study. And because there's so many reasons why excuses that I use for not consistently being in the Word. But there's a really good article written by Eric Raymond, and it's if you go to thegospelcoalition.org, it's a blog. It's by Eric Raymond, June 15th, 2015, and it's entitled, Let's Be Honest, Reasons Why We Don't Read Our Bibles. And it's super good. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but I want to go over some of the main reasons that it says that believers don't read their Bibles. And I think it really hit to the heart to me. So maybe it will for you as well. It says here, if we were to survey Christians at evangelical churches in America, most people would agree that they need to read their Bibles. They understand that it's both required and good for them. But the sad truth is, many do not. This lands us in that strange place of knowing, but yet still avoiding what is good and beneficial for us. So why do we do it? Most people, when asked about their Bible reading, say, I've been really busy. This may be truth. People are very busy. However, it is not the reason. And isn't that true? Because that's one of the first things that I think about, or I guess don't think about. You know, I meticulously, many times, will plan out my week. And for our jobs, a lot of times we have to do that. We've got all kinds of different meetings that we have to be a part of. So we've got those on our Outlook calendars. If you're in sales, you've probably got days mapped out where you need to be out in the field seeing customers, maybe even doing prospecting or whatever it is. You've got time allotted for that. You may have date night allotted with your wife. You've probably got time for working out and getting in shape. You've probably got that allotted. But you know, how many of us really have on our Outlook calendars time allotted for Bible study? Probably a very small percentage of us. I know that, honestly, I do not. So it says here, I think we can't distinguish between realities and reasons. Those same people who are really busy do have time to eat food and sleep. I know people who have their entire day and evening, he says, mapped out for them. They're extremely busy, yet still they read their Bibles. There is time for even the busiest of us. However, others who claim busyness also are up to date on the news, watch movies, use social media, exercise, a host of other things. And isn't that the truth too? I seem to be able to find time to waste time looking at YouTube and other things. You know, I get caught up in it. You watch one video, you watch three, four, five. It's like, what is that commercial for the chips? You can't have just one. For me, that's YouTube or Instagram or Facebook. I start looking at what is going on in everybody's life, and I just get lost. Others who, let's see here, in pursuit of a true diagnosis here, he said, let's be honest. None of us are truly too busy to read the Bible. We may be busy, but we choose to put the Bible aside for one reason or another. Let me give you a few reasons, he says, why many Christians do not regularly read their Bible. So that's what, this is what we're going to focus on today. Here's the first reason that he gives us to why we don't read our Bibles, and it hits right to the core. It makes us uncomfortable. This is the reason that no one wants to talk about, but everyone needs to grapple with. We love to be comfortable, and yet the Bible aims to comfort us. So why in the world would we avoid the Bible? It's because the Bible makes us uncomfortable before it comforts us, and we don't like this. Consider what Paul says about the activity of the Bible. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. Let me read that again. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. And he says, consider the first commandment as well. You shall have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse 3. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, by other gods, we shall have no other gods. Well, anything that we put ahead of God, anything that we love, anything that we focus on, whatever we are mainly focused on in our lives, whatever we map out on our calendars and do on a regular basis, can't that become kind of a god to us? Even other good things that we have in our calendar, and, you know, you might be saying, hey, I'm busy, I'm supplying for my family, I'm providing for, or I'm spending time with my wife, or I've got, you know, someone that I'm providing for who's ill, or, you know, there's so many good things that we do that can also become gods to us and can take the place of the time that we could also be spending with God in the Bible, in His Word. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't be doing the other things, right? I'm not saying that. It just says that, you know, there are things that we can put ahead of God in our life. So it says, here's what the Bible does. The Bible teaches us truth. One who follows the Lord is not to have another or other gods. He alone must be our only true God who rules us even as we glorify Him. It teaches us truth by saying, this is right. The Bible also, he says, reproves us. When we are not putting God first by giving Him His due worship because we are giving this to someone or something else, it rebukes our sin by saying, that is wrong. So when we are not putting God first by giving Him His due worship because we are giving this to someone or something else, it rebukes our sin by saying, that is wrong. It corrects us. The Bible corrects us. It points us back to what is right. Because we have been reproved by the Word, we are pointed back to what we are supposed to be doing. It corrects us by saying, repent and serve the one true God. And the Bible also trains us. The Scripture tells us both what is wrong and how to do what is right. The moral law reveals to us even the next 9 commandments, how to live with God as our God, as your God. It trains us by saying, this is how we must live instead. So he says, if we have engaged in honest Bible reading, we know that we have been confronted by God and His Word. And this punctures our pride and it unsettles us. If we aim to preserve comfort and protect honor, then we will avoid reading the Bible like someone who is out of shape avoids the gym. We don't want to be made uncomfortable. But here's the truth. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? The truth is our hearts are deceitful and our hearts trick us. We believe the lie that it's better to live in the false comfort we are in rather than the comfort that God can provide. We lean upon the false savior or self and as a result guarantee that we will not be comfortable. It is only by being made uncomfortable by God that we can truly be comforted. Wow, it's a really good reason. So the first reason he said once again was that the Bible, the reason we don't read the Bible is because it makes us uncomfortable. But we need to be made uncomfortable. I know that in my life, I desperately need many times to be made uncomfortable. I get too comfortable. And when I get too comfortable, bad things happen. I know that to be true. I get into a cycle of comfort of seeking after comfort, seeking after material things, surfacey things. I live in a society, and we all live in a society, we are surrounded by that message, that certain thing, you know, that certain things bring us comfort, and you know, we don't need to be uncomfortable. Even medicine and all kinds of stuff, it's all designed to comfort us, right? But we need sometimes to be made uncomfortable. We need to go through certain trials and to be convicted about certain things in our lives so that we can be better people. What does Scripture say? That we go through trials to strengthen our faith, right? And for perseverance. That perseverance will bring about a better person. So that's the first reason. It makes us too uncomfortable. The second reason that people, it says, don't read their Bibles is because it's just too hard. And I have definitely found this to be the case as well. Now, he says here, I think that this is a rarity, but there are some people who find the Bible very difficult. I, Eric, do not think that this is a rarity at all. I talk to a lot of people who definitely find it difficult to understand what's being talked about in Scripture sometimes. It says here, when they begin reading it, they find they have crossed cultural, historical, and even religious lines. And that is totally true. When you start reading the Bible, you've crossed all those lines. You're in a different time, in a different context. Now, a lot of the truths obviously apply and are the same for today. This is not a book that is out of date. I'm not saying that. But you've definitely crossed cultural, historical, and religious lines. That's going to be that's the purpose that we are going to be going through a series on the five keys to studying the Bible, because there are some things you can do to help yourself breach those, you know, cross those bridges, you know, with the cultural, historical, and you know, religious lines. But it says here that people are overwhelmed. In this situation, they should seek some help. And these are great practical tools. Ask a pastor or another mature believer for help. After some time with another Christian, reading the Bible together and through providing some basic tools and resources, they should be well on their way. The Holy Spirit also, he says, uses the Word of God in the child of God to conform us into the likeness of the Son of God. So we need the Bible. I think that is something you should remember and highlight, because we're going to be going over that one sentence right there again. The Holy Spirit, he says, uses the Word of God in the child of God to conform us into the likeness of the Son of God. So remember, I said that for a later podcast episode. We need the Bible, he says. We have to do whatever it takes. This may take some time rolling up our sleeves, but it's definitely worth it. And the next reason, the third reason he gives that we don't read the Bible is we're undisciplined. In order to do anything of value consistently, it takes discipline. Isn't that the truth? Anything good and meaningful that I've ever done in my life, I have had to really work at, and it's taken a lot of work. However, if we sit back and do not live with intentionality, we will not be regularly in the Word of God. Do you think an Olympic athlete hits snooze on their alarm when training? Never. Do they not get tired? Of course they do. But there is a critical point when discipline defeats the desire of the moment. It is when the mind speaks to the heart and says, hey, I'm in charge. It's time to get up, even if I don't like it. Discipline takes effort. We don't recline into discipline. We must work in it. Is there anything more important than godliness to discipline ourselves for? Let me say that again. Is there anything more important to you than godliness to discipline ourselves for? Paul tells Timothy to discipline himself for the purpose of godliness. That's in 1 Timothy 4:7-8. It says here, I have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in everything. And, you know, train yourself for godliness. You know, bodily training or getting in shape, there's some value to that, to being healthy. But godliness, that has a value in everything, in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Godliness, I love that, has a promise for the present life in living righteously, but also for the eternal reward that we get when we live in heaven forever, where our bodies are glorified with God later. Isn't that great? But I am very undisciplined with my Bible study. Here's the fourth reason. We think it's stale, lifeless, out of date, right? Many people do not find themselves awed by the Bible. They avoid the Bible because it's been a long time, if ever, since they found themselves truly moved by its truth. And this reveals more of a problem with the person than with the Bible. The Bible is not boring. We are boring. Many of us are too infatuated with the trivial to even appreciate something of substance. We jump from one mindless triviality to another day after day and wonder why we have no appetite for the Word of God. Isn't that true? Think about the things that you do throughout your day. I mean, there is a lot of routine, right? A lot of trivial things. You know, you get up, maybe you go to the restroom, you brush your teeth, you do your hair, you take a shower, maybe you work out, maybe you don't work out, maybe, you know, you grab your muffin, and Starbucks, you get to your job, you open up your computer, you start looking at your emails, clicking, somebody walks in, you know what I mean? You've got a meeting to go through. It's the same meeting you've had before. You do it every single week, have this sales meeting or have this doctor's meeting, whatever. But it's the same trivial stuff over and over again. The Bible declares that it is living and powerful. Hebrews 4, right? 12 and 13, just like in the beginning of the podcast. And it has a long track record of being so. If we think the Bible is stale or lifeless, then perhaps the coin of its central truth has not yet dropped. Maybe we have yet to see that God is truly good and that we are truly not. Until we are conquered by the truth of the gospel, the Bible remains a book about God instead of a book about our God. Boy, Eric, I really love that. Think about that. Let me say that again. Until we are conquered by the truth of the gospel, the Bible remains a book about God instead of a book about our God, that personal relationship with God, right? Man, we should really examine our hearts to see if we truly love God, shouldn't we? I love that, Eric. It's really good. Here's the fifth reason he gave. He said, we have a dysfunctional relationship with God. Wow. That's so true. We have a dysfunctional relationship with God. Here's what he says. He says, years ago, my wife was deployed in the military for months. Wow, I want to thank you, Eric, and your wife for the service that you gave us. She would send me letters, pre-internet days, it says. When I'd receive them, I would read them through quickly and then sit back and think. Then I'd read through and examine patterns. Why did she write so neatly here, but more hurriedly here? What's going on? Why are their hearts on these exclamation points, but not these? Then I would read it through slowly. I'd walk around thinking about it. Why do I do this? Because I love my wife. Suppose it was different, though. Suppose I got the letter and just tossed it over on the pile of other mail. And there I sat with junk mail and bills for a few days. I'd walk across the room and see it, but instead of opening it up, I would just ignore it as I watched SportsCenter or read the paper. You would doubtless call me a bad husband and say that our relationship was in trouble. You'd be right. But isn't this what people do in the Bible? Do with the Bible? God has spoken to us in the Word of God. It is His letter to us. How can a person say that they truly love God but throw His letter aside in favor of other stuff? How can they give it less attention than things that don't matter? Wow. Isn't that true? I never really thought about that. I toss my Bible over on the shelf. It's got its own special little cubbyhole. At least I've got a special cubbyhole for it. I know where it is, but it's got its own place there. I've tossed it over plenty of times in my life when I should have had it out. I've got plenty of time for it. And I just kind of treat it like, you know, like it's less meaningful than other stuff that I'm looking at and reading, mainly off my phone, right? As I said, you know, time on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. Looking at garbage, you know, I love the shows, the YouTube videos where these people can eat like 10 times, you know, like 10 pounds of food in one sitting in like 20 minutes. I just have a fascination with that. I watch those things more easily more than I read the Bible. In fact, my phone sometimes sends me little reminders of screen time. Of how much time I spent on the screen like last week. I mean, the hours and hours people spend in front of their phones, right? He says, sure, let's be honest. If you don't read your Bible, it is because you don't want to read your Bible. And the bottom line, this further, this is indicative of our relationship with God. We cannot separate a love for the Word of God and the God of the Word. We cannot separate a love for the Word of God and the God of the Word. That's really good. So to summarize, we kicked off our series on five keys to studying the Bible by talking about five reasons we don't study the Bible. And the first one is that it makes us uncomfortable. The second was that it's just too hard. The third was that we are undisciplined people. The fourth was we think it is a stale and lifeless book. And the fifth is because we have a dysfunctional relationship with God. And I talked about how these reasons really hit home to me. I can point to several of these, maybe even all of them, I'm sure. And at different points, these are definite things that I have thought and felt. And if you feel these ways, I think this brings us to a point where you can examine yourself. We should all be examining ourselves, our hearts, and to see where we're really at with our relationship with God. And if we feel these ways, you know, we can go to God and we can repent. We can ask for forgiveness, turn back to Him in faith, and re-engage. So I really challenge you to do that. I want to thank you for your time today. I hope all of you have a great week. Stay informed this week, and better yet, inform someone else about the truths of the Bible. Take care.